So yeah, let's get right into it. So tonight we got our man Bowser's in the house. We got Thought Girl Summer. We got all kinds of random degenerate thottery going on. And he has an interesting take due to some of his past jobs that he's had. So Bowser, take it away, man.
Well, I mean, look, I've pretty much worked everywhere you can think of, from construction to retail to delivering newspapers to UPS to bartending. And now I'm in like kind of construction engineering and stuff. I kind of stepped up. I'm not in the ditch anymore, but yeah, bartending and serving, man, that's the wild shit. So, I mean, you know, there's that saying where they always say, don't shit where you work or don't shit where you eat, which says don't sleep with your coworkers. I think that applies to every job except for the restaurant industry, because okay, Everybody's banging everybody.
Goodness, the restaurant biz. Yeah, about that. There's quite a few things that happen in restaurant business. One of which is customers will take passes at employees, right?
Bartenders usually the bartenders.
Yep.
You get some of the older, like recently divorcees, like trying to hit on a cute young server dude. The guys are grimy, though, man. They'll grab waitresses' asses all the time.
So you're saying there's actually some legitimate Me Too cases waiting to happen?
Well, I mean, there's no way to really find these people, because it's usually they come in. If somebody's going to make a scene about it, they won't come back.
But those
girls let it go, because they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. If I smile and nod and pretend like I'm into it and all, I'll get a bigger tip.
Yep. Well, they're always trading sex or the what would you say is the major issue in that business? Because I think a lot of it, if we look at places like Hooters, it really boils down to what they really are selling is the possibility of sex, right?
Hooters, yeah.
Like, if you think about even if you go to, like, you know, Applebee's or something, right? Like that's why do they hire more female waitresses? Because you get more money as a business. You make more money by hiring more, this is the key word, attractive women than you do hiring a bunch of dudes.
Oh yeah, I've had that. I applied for a server position at this place called Champs. It's a sports bar, and yeah, they came in. They were like, look, man, you know your stuff. Your resume looks good. We'd love to hire you, but you're missing a pair of tits.
Open sexism, right?
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do about it? All they got is you file a complaint and be like, I never said that.
Yep. Well, the thing about that business is when it comes to what goes down, give the guys some examples out there of just how thotty it gets. Especially when in your days as a bartender.
Well, most of the thoughtness was between the employees. That's where most of it was, because, you know, you're working at a bar, and once the servers and all get off, man, even like, you know, 19, 20 year olds, they're getting served drinks. They're going back to parties. Bartenders are always throwing all kinds of parties and everything. Everybody's banging everybody. No one gives a shit. Good old time.
Oh, I've known this for years. And, you know, the thing about the whole coworkers, right? You know, we always talk about, you know, don't shit where you eat and all that shit. Don't shit where you sleep, whatever. And never dip your pen in company ink. All these adages exist for a reason. Did you ever see anybody go out there and get in trouble for what they were doing with their coworkers?
Not so much in the restaurant business. Everywhere else, though, yeah. Because it's usually, you know, two employees, they start talking. One of them's usually married or in a relationship. You know, as soon as things go south, that's when she starts complaining to upper management and starts throwing those accusations around. It's usually she gets upset because she wanted something more out of it and had the wrong expectations and, you know, didn't get what she wanted. So, you know, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
Well, you know what, though? And hell hath no fury like a drugged up drunk thought scorned, because I know the business that you're in, and I know that drugs and alcohol plays a huge part in it.
Oh my God. I was just about to say that. Yeah. That's
go ahead.
Like with the restaurant business, man, like all those girls are almost all of them are on drugs. I mean, you walk
out. That's what they were using.
Yeah. Mostly like Percocet, Adderall, Klonopin, Xanax, and cocaine, and a lot of weed.
And what age was like the rough age range of the girls?
Like 19 to 22.
Now few, you know why I asked you this question, chicks. Right?
What's that?
As you know, right before the show, I told you that Bob Dylan was recently Me Too'd on a 56-year-old allegation, right? And the reason why this is important is that these girls, especially these young thots, when they're getting drunk and high and whatever else, right? And they're getting lit. These are the girls that are going to come after you 10, 20, 30 years later. It's them. Because let me ask you this. Did you ever have a girl tell you that she doesn't remember what happened last night?
Yes, once. Well, I know why she said she didn't remember what happened, because she got so drunk she pissed herself, but that's why she pretended like she didn't remember what happened. She was embarrassed.
Well, it's a trip because, you know, yeah, you and I have talked in the live chats, and you talk about how what kind of personnel, let's say the clientele that comes through bars and stuff, and what they're there for. Can you kind of elaborate on exactly what these girls are doing? I'm sure you've seen business meetings where, you know, okay, so this is how this works. There are business conferences and training that happens mm-hmm. in other cities. And then these people wind up meeting up where else? Because most people don't have any creativity. Instead of an escape room, they meet up at a bar. And it is at this bar you find out who's married, who's divorced, who's on the verge of divorce. And this is when a lot of things happen, especially this is when the bartender's ears perk up, because of course, the happier they are, the more they spend, and the more liquor they get, the more they divulge. What did you see in your time bartending in particular, where you were like, oh, so this person's here for on this kind of a date, this person's married, I saw a wedding ring come off, I'm starting to see the same person in the bar every other week or whatever. What did you see?
Yeah, you'd see like the 40-year-old woman there by herself drinking every night, trying to get friendly with all the bartenders so she could get hooked up and not spend so much on alcohol. Always, like, you know, when the young guys would come in to sit down with their friends and sit down at the bar, you know, first thing, she's over there talking to them, trying to get a little piece of some young dudes, get them to spend some money on her, usually unsuccessfully, but...
I was just going to ask. I have to ask, man, what was their success rate?
Not very high.
So they really believe the delusion that, like, they haven't lost any market value, right? Like, I'm 48, but I feel like I'm, you know, 23.
But after talking with them for a while, you kind of pick up on it. It's like it's a front, and they know it's a front, because, like, you can just see it, man. There's just that dead soul, man, that dead soul stare when they're there by themselves before everybody gets in, and you just see them, just they just look so depressed.
Oh, that's what I love, man. Depressed and desperate is the look that I love to see. I love seeing people's spirits crack, because these are the same people who made a living off of destroying others. And one of the things that you learn, especially here in the Thought Girl Summer Series, is that, do you know who these girls were, Bowser? These were the girls going out on cruise trips, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah.
These were the girls that were banging their boss to get a promotion and then Me Too'd the guy, right? So when you see these career women sitting at a bar, that's who these women really are, right? Like, because, you know, your average guy.
They weren't broke by any stretch.
Oh, yeah, they're never broke. And that's a common misconception, is that, like, the girl sitting at the bar is broke. Like, no.
Ooh.
A lot of times these are your career women, and they realize this is all they've got is a bar, hookup culture, and, you know, basically kind of like dipping into other people's lives, right? Like, this is how Thought Girl Summer ends. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It ends with them sitting at a bar alone, miserable. Or here goes another question. What do you have to say about the girls who came in there with their girls, right? A bunch of girls drinking.
Well, it depends on which place, because the two bars that I worked at were completely different with the type of people that would go there and the kind of interactions you get. Now, when I was bartending at the seafood joint, it was actually they filmed a lot of that show, The Wire, at the one in Baltimore City. If anybody's seen that show, great show. But yeah, that's more. I mean, it was more catered to black people. You got white people in the daytime on the weekends, but when the night kicked off, it was jumping. And that's where you see, like, you didn't get a lot of, like, it was mostly the, you know, guys would show up with their friends. The owners were Iranian, and so they kind of like figured out, like, oh, we can let anybody in off the street, man. They'll throw some dollars down, and didn't care. I mean, dudes were dealing drugs in the bathroom, all kinds of stuff. And this was like a, you know, high priced seafood joint. You know, it's like $60 for a plate, you know, kind of thing. So it wasn't, you know, and this is, you know, back, what, when did I leave? 2013. I can talk about like specifics with that, because they closed that one down. It kind of went under a little while ago, before COVID, actually.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, well, and when they had incidents with, you know, it gets into one of the stories where, you know, dude comes in, he's sitting drinking at the bar, and then his brother and his father show up to the bar and get in an altercation. They take it outside and dude gets stabbed.
The father?
The guy who was drinking by himself. His brother stabbed him.
His father
egged it on because they were all sleeping with the same woman, and they all had kids with the same woman.
Let me ask you this. How much foolishness and shenanigans did you see in terms of infidelity at the bar? Like, whether it be, you know, a cheating wife, a cheating husband, somebody that you knew was married? Because, you know, okay, like, did you ever see this scenario? Like, you saw a man come in that bar with his wife, right? That clearly his wife, mm-hmm. right? Or girlfriend.
3 weeks later, he comes in with some younger girl, and, you know, and they're both sitting at the bar, and, you know, they're not. I mean, he's obviously hitting on her, but not like blatant, but you can tell. And they're leaving, you know, they're both drinking, and then on the way out they get a little friendly, and, you know, and it's just like, man, because then the next, you know, 2 weeks later you see him in there with his wife, and you're like, okay, all right, that's how that is.
And did you see the opposite? Because I'm assuming at bars, you're always going to see, you know, you're going to see the flip side of the coin, right? You're going to see guys out there dirt dogging their wives, and you're going to see wives dirt dogging their husbands.
Generally, the women that came to the bars were usually, if they came to the bars with by themselves or with their friends, they were usually single. For the most part.
Yes, culture is slightly different, because here, they're bold enough to go to the bar, and also what they tend to do here in Minnesota, in the Midwest in general, what they tend to do is meet directly at hotels to get ran through, right? So they may not be as visible, like, so they'll meet at a bar, like so this is very common in Minnesota. The chicks will meet at the bar, right? The married chick, right? And be there for not even like 15 minutes. Like, okay, yeah, let's go. Because, you know, they don't want to be seen. Like, they want to meet at a public place, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they still want to make sure that they can hop out and just bounce, right? Like, if this date doesn't go well, I can leave. If it goes well, the hotel's right. And how many times did you see people, I'm assuming, went straight to the hotel after the bar? Like, you know, or they got an Uber together, a cab or something. You just know, you could tell. Like, you look at their body language, it's like, let's go. And you knew what was going down.
I mean, look back, at least in my area, man, hardly anybody use cabs, man. They're drinking and driving.
Oh, damn, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Uber wasn't around then.
Oh, snap, for real?
Oh, yeah. Plenty of times I had to cut a couple of them off and be like, look, you're going to have to chill out for like an hour or so before you can go.
Damn. What is your reaction to that in terms of, you know, we talked earlier about the drug culture and how it has, you know, it's infected other places, obviously, like, you know, the workplace and stuff, and that affects the dating market. But you've talked about how girls that you knew back when thotted it out, and then now they're just like the old thought, like, you know, that you know, especially in your area, because, you know, your area is kind of unique, because you've said in our live chat there's a lot of career women, but the dudes aren't really buying what they're selling, right? Like in terms of relationships, they're just kind of like, yeah, I mean, I'll smash, but that's it.
Pretty much.
So what are you seeing in terms of the aging thought in the Northeast?
Well, I mean, it's just like they're getting desperate. So, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, they're, you know, they realize it. Like I said earlier, you know, they're, you know, you can just see it in their face. Like they know they hit the wall and or they know they're close to it if they haven't hit it, and they know it's coming. And you just see that just depression and desperation. It's just like, and when they get a couple drinks in, man, they go hard, man. A couple times, like I had to tell them, like, look, man, I'm working. I can't help you out with that one. You're gonna have to find somebody else.
Well, here goes a question. What offers have they offered you or your coworkers at the bar? Like, hey, me and my friends, or would you like to blank?
Well, when I was bartending at this place close to Baltimore, I was one of the only dudes in there. The only other guy who worked there was he was from El Salvador. He barely spoke any English. He started as a busboy and learned just enough English to wait tables. Other than that, it was all chicks. And yeah, that's I got a little more attention than a lot of people just for being the only dude in that place, pretty much.
And how easy was it to pull?
Oh man, like all the servers, all of them. Yeah, it's like, you know, they all had a thing because it's like, you know, it was easy for them. You know, you're at work, or you know, when it comes down to it, like, oh, I'm getting a ride to work with Bowser. You know, so they can, you know, tell their boyfriend that that they're gonna be at work when they're getting bent over backwards.
You know what's so beautiful about this, man, is that you and I were talking about SMV. Right. We're in the live chat. We're talking about SMV. And you brought up one of the points that I think is very important to the very nature of Thought Girl Summer, which is prolonging or artificially prolonging your SMV as a woman, which is it's a systemic problem at this point. Right. Because, you know, back in a bygone era, women had a short window and then that was it. Now, through the miracles of modern science,
makeup,
Brazilian butt lifts.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. All boobs. Butts, lips, face, nose, you know, all this, you know, all these surgeries and in the clothes they wear. You talked about a particular place where the owner had something very special for the ladies.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. oh man, it's a guy owned a chain. He doesn't own it anymore. You know, he hit some hard times with COVID and he had to sell his places. But yeah, all the girls that bartended, I mean, well, bartended, waited. It was kind of like a country dock bar. So it was like on the water. You could walk outside. It was like on the river and everything. And I mean, because I'm close to the Chesapeake Bay, so there's water everywhere. And so it was one of these like beach bars. And I mean, first off, the guy wouldn't hire any females who were, you know, look worse than a five without makeup. And so it's like, yeah, if you got makeup on, you better be at least a seven or an eight. And then if you work there long enough, he would go ahead and he would write it off as a business expense and pay for the boob jobs.
Yeah, buddy.
I mean, that's smart business investment.
What was his return on investment?
I mean, that place, his joints were always jumping.
Yeah.
I mean, he did everything from like pool leagues there to dart leagues to. I mean, they had cornhole, everything out on the, or bags, whatever you want to call it, out on the dock bar, all kinds of stuff, man. But the place, like, I mean, in the daytime, I mean, it was all right. People weren't going there for lunch, but I mean, that was definitely, you know, his places were definitely the hangout spot for the, you know, 21 to 30 year old crowd. And it was always packed. So
let me ask you this. What were the biggest red pills that you learned by being in these professions? Like what profession made you say, oh man, it's really like this?
Definitely the restaurant business. Because I mean, look, man, everybody's banging everybody, man. Everybody already knows, like, you know, their boyfriend's sitting at home and doesn't know shit what's going on. and everybody knew all these girls all had boyfriends.
Yep.
Or if they didn't, or if they didn't have boyfriends, they you know, they were in between boyfriends, you know, like for a week.
Yep. Well, you know, Bowser, we've talked about this in our live chats, is that women are never single, ever. They're never, like his thing, they're never single in the sense that they are just sitting there twiddling their thumbs. So shout out to my girl J-Love for talking about the cruise ship and stuff, because one of the things that I want these guys to know out here is that anytime you aren't physically with her, if you are, okay, if you were sitting by her side 24/7, that means she can't physically cheat. She could, you know, emotionally cheat, I guess, by, you know, texting guys or whatever. But whatever time you are not with her, right? And Bowser, you and I have talked about this. How much were they getting their back blown out by other dudes when they weren't with their man?
Look, to be fair, it's not all of them, but a very large percentage of them.
Give me a percent.
70, 75.
So 3 out of every 4.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, okay. Out of that remaining one, right? That remaining one means that represents 25% roughly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of that 25%, how many of them are happy with their current man?
Well,
so they're not cheating yet. Like, you know, they aren't just straight up going and getting bent over in a Scooby-Doo mystery van. But I know you've seen some, we've talked about this, right? Where they haven't physically done any stories. Did you see unfold in front of you, or did you know with your coworkers or something where the good girl was doing just a little bit extra?
That's the thing, man. You wait, you know, you wait for those problems to come up, and then that's when you get you. You know, she wants to out and party with everybody afterwards that she never used to go to. Did we lose you there?
You say hang out and party. What does that really mean when a girl says, "I just want to hang out and party"?
Oh, that, I mean, that. That's what Netflix and chill is now.
Yep.
Only with a lot of people.
Yeah. And Bowser, you and I have talked about this. Describe the level of degeneracy that was going on in the Maryland area back in, you know, let's go high school going forward, right? Because you and I are basically born in the same era where we saw the change.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, this is a story about a friend of mine. We were all 17, so he's pretty much the same age as us. So I think I'm 38.
I'm 1 year older. I'm 38.
I'm 38 next month. So, he's the same age as all of us. But you know, he's 17. He's hanging out with his friend over at his friend's house, and his friend's mom, his friend's mother, has her friend over. And then the mom leaves, and the friend's mom gets spit roasted by the two kids. She's like 35, they're 17.
So by definition, that's actually illegal, right?
Yes, sir. Every time I see him, man, I gotta give him, you know, we got an inside joke, man, called 35 by 2.
Bowser, you know what's hilarious? You and I have talked about, you know, you know a lot of black guys out there in that area.
Well, these are white guys, too.
Oh, no, I know these are white guys, but, like, you know a lot of black guys. And I don't know if you know this, but in the black community, a lot of the black boys are getting sexually turned out by significantly older women.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yep. This is very common. Like you know, yeah. Me Too doesn't ever advocate for the boys. And it doesn't matter if they're black or white, but the black community in particular has a lot of dudes. I'm talking like 10, 11, 12
years old.
Yep. Getting turned out by like old women.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
50s.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 So when we talk about Fat Girl Summer, man, Bowser, something that you and I have talked about, women don't mature, right? They don't like wisen up. They just get old. The same turbo thought you knew when you were 15, she eventually becomes 55. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Her mindset didn't change. So that's why she can hunt a 15-year-old boy and see no problem with it. Like, oh, because mentally that's where she at. She's stuck there. right? Mm-hmm. Shout out to Kohlberg and his six stages of moral development. Women don't advance beyond the third stage, which is care-based morality. They don't ever evolve beyond that. And
yeah, because if it never happened to them, they have no empathy whatsoever.
None.
They can't, you know, no matter how bad somebody's story is, you know, they can maybe try to sympathize with you a little bit, but they just don't know. And at the end of the day, it's like, they don't care.
I was just going to say that. They don't care. And, you know, when it comes to what was going on with your boys, I believe that was you who mentioned something about where you were next to a Catholic school or something, right? Was that you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I want you to go into detail. I'm just going to kick back next to my microphone and you spit that real about what was going on at this damn Ooh. Catholic school.
Oh, well, a couple of them got expelled from Catholic school for shenanigans. Let's see. One girl got expelled for she got caught jerking off a dude in a public bathroom on a field trip. Another girl got expelled because she got caught giving a dude a blowjob in the back of the school bus. The other girl, she didn't get expelled. Her father pulled her out when she found out what her friends were doing and put her in an all-girls school far away from all that, which that's not much better, to be honest.
That's worse.
But see, that's the thing. But, you know, with these private schools, so, you know, they're paying a pretty penny. It's like $5,000 a semester per kid for high school. So, I mean, that's a lot of money for school for a lot of people. And so, you know, these kids, families have money. And so it's all these rich kids. And these rich kids, you know, their parents are like, oh, public school is so bad. And so they want to shelter their kids. So they send them to private school. And you know what happens? It's the same thing with preacher's daughter. What happens with the preacher's daughter?
Burnt out. She's the worst, the biggest turbo thought slut whore of all time.
That's what happens when you shelter these kids to the extreme. They get a little bit of freedom and they just go butt wild.
Yeah, buddy. Now, so, Bowser, describe the kinds of things that these good, sweet Catholic girls were doing.
Let's see. 15-year-old girl had an interesting... she had interesting habits with a doodle pen that she liked to do in front of people.
I love it.
The girl that got expelled for blowing a dude on the school bus. Man, I still remember because she went to the high school down the street, like the next high school over from mine. And I had a wrestling match over at that high school, and she was a cheerleader for the basketball team, and she saw our bus leaving, and she runs up to the bus window as the bus is pulling out, and she's running by the side of the bus. She's like, "Bowser, I'm not a slut anymore." Like, okay. Oh, that's why the last time you showed up at a party with me and my friends, one of my wrestling teammates, he had a broken arm at the time, and he had his hands, both hands down two different girls' pants, and
a broken arm.
Yeah, he had a broken. One of his arms was broken.
Yeah, I mean he's a G, man. Buy him a drink for me.
Oh, man, I wish I could say his last name on YouTube, man, but I can't because I don't want to call him out. But let's just say his last name would make this next part that much funnier because he left $2 of that girl's underwear after he got done.
Now, Bowser, we got to talk about a very, very funny topic. I'm familiar with your area. You guys have some of the most ratchet strip clubs on earth.
We got we had this place. You ever seen that show Diners, Dives, and Dashes?
On yep. Network? Yeah, Triple D, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives with Guy Fieri.
They did two episodes on this place called Chaps. And it's right off of Route 40, Pulaski Highway. And it's kind of like East Baltimore, but it's not technically Baltimore. It's right outside, right on the line of Baltimore. In this place that they did two shows on, I know why they did those shows there. They didn't give a shit about the food. The food's okay, but it's not nothing to write home about. It's literally in the parking lot of a strip club. Of a sort of decent strip club. Well, it used to be all right. It's gone downhill. And then, yeah, all the rest of the strip clubs around here, man, they went downhill real fast when Larry Flint decided he was gonna open up a hustle club right on Baltimore Street in downtown.
God bless him. R.I.P. I think Larry Flint passed, right?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard any news out of him. I think he did.
I think he did. If he did, R.I.P. Larry Flint.
Yeah, because he was the same age as Hugh Hefner. Maybe was he a little older than him?
They're around the same age.
Yeah, they're around the same age.
Yeah, yeah. They both kind of came to prominence around the same time.
Great movie if you haven't seen it, man. The People versus Larry Flint.
Oh yeah, Woody Harrelson was great.
Great movie, man.
Great movie.
But yeah, they open up the Hustler Club, and yeah, I mean that's the one place where you walk in, and you got the main stage right in the center of the club, and then you look straight up, and the stripper pole is like it's like a 40-foot stripper pole, and it connects to an upstairs stage, so the girls could technically swing down from the pole upstairs and land on the first floor stage. It's kind of cool. But once that place opened up, man, everything else went downhill, man.
You guys are great. I mean, you guys have really set the standard in degeneracy, in Turbo Thoughts, in the Catholic schools, which of course you know in Discord we always make fun of everybody who's out here still believing that is a good place for your kids to be. Like
all the rumors you hear about Catholic school, man, they're all true.
All, yeah,
they're all true.
Bowser, what would you like to tell people out there? In terms of like what's going on, especially for the guys, right? When your girl says that she's going to meet for drinks, whether it be coworkers, friends, what's really going down? Let these guys know.
I mean, it depends, because I mean, look, sometimes she's telling the truth, sometimes. But you know, if there's you know been recent fights, or if you know she's stressed out about something at work, or you know something like that, you know, it's you know they go out probably not specifically with the attention, you know, the intention to see other dudes, but you know you go out, you see a group of girls when you go out to the bar, you know, a lot of guys are going to go up and talk to a group of girls because it's easier when they're in a group, so. You know, things lead around, everybody's drinking, and the unintentional becomes intentional. But that happens way more often than not.
Oh yeah, girls' night out. For any of you simps, girls' night out is just a thought interlude, a thought intermission, right? And then they go right back to their normal life, like nothing happened. Like, hey honey, I got you dinner. Oh, and Bowser, this is something that a lot of people don't know. You and I do, but a lot of people don't. Can you describe this scenario? A girl is out there thotting it up, but they still have the foresight to order food to go to bring back to their man after they've been ran through in the bathroom. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
the only time that these women would order food to go is if they're at like the one place I worked at, man, we had a lot of those medical conferences where there'd be like a pharmacy rep, and he would have like, you know, 50 doctors, but he'd let them bring their wives or their kids, their friends, and sometimes people would literally just show up and pretend that they were part of it, but they weren't. And then, you know, but they got a pharmacy rep card. They're spending $5,000 to $7,000, and they're like, yeah, yeah, whatever. Get all your stuff to go. But you know, not expecting anything. But you know, it's just one of those like it's a payoff, but it's not a payoff to, hey, how about you push our medication the next time you talk to your patients?
Well, look, Bowser, is there any last story that you wanna say before we wrap up?
Oh man. Oh, this one's it's funny, it's kind of short. All right. When I was in college, man, I was actually like good. Like I was friends with my roommate freshman year, and like we lived in one of the only co-ed dorms on campus as freshmen, because usually they wouldn't put the co-eds in the same dorms. But it was overflow, so they kind of put us. It was like a supposed to be single dorm rooms for seniors. But they crammed two people into each of these rooms so they could make space for more students, obviously, because they're trying to get that money. Yeah, so my roommate, he had it real hard up for this girl down the hall, man. And she was not feeling him at all. Not feeling him. But instead of telling him, hey, I'm not interested, she comes over while he's on his computer playing video games and shit. And I'm literally like not even 5 feet away behind him on my bed on the first, like the bottom bunk. And she blows me while he's sitting right there. And that's her way of telling him, hey, I'm not interested. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, man.
It's scandalous, man. I love it. I mean, that's pure scandalous, right? Here's the thing. It's at the end of the day, though, it's always nonverbal communication, right? They're mm-hmm. not going to direct. It's always indirect communication. Like, okay, hot behavior is never going to be, hey, I went and took on the whole team, right? It's very rarely that. What it usually is I'm going to get around situation A by jumping under dick A, B, C, D, E, F, right?
Yep. Well, it's not like I said, we're running short on time because these are supposed to be shorter, but I mean, I got more, but it's never the whole team, but it's always they want more than one. They want more than one. they want more than one, and I got a couple of stories for another time.
Don't worry. We're going to do a degeneracy show where we're going to just go ahead and let the thoughtness come out and let the wild sexcapades come out. So we'll definitely have you back. But Bowser, thank you for coming on for another edition of Thought Girl Summer, brother.
All right, man.
Stay frosty.
And that's a wrap, everybody. Peace out.
See you.